Chapter 39. Hagen was doing some browsing. He wandered through the mall of the shopping center, casually eyeing the merchandise in the stores. The smell of roasted peanuts reminded him that he was hungry. He stopped at a gaily painted wagon and bought a bag of roasted cashews. Resting his feet for a few minutes, Hagen sat on a couch in an appliance store and watched an entire wall of 20 television sets all tuned to the same channel. The pictures showed an hour-old rerun of the space shuttle Gettysburg as it lifted off from California. Over 300 people had been launched into space since the shuttle's first flight in 1981, and except for the news media, nobody paid much attention anymore. Hagen wandered up and down, pausing to gawk through a large window at a disc jockey spinning records for a radio station that was located in the mall. He rubbed shoulders with the crowds of female shoppers, but he concentrated on the occasional man. Most seemed to be on their lunch break, probing the counters and racks, usually buying the first thing they saw, in contrast to the women, who preferred to keep searching in the forlorn hope they could find something better at a cheaper price. He spotted two men eating submarine sandwiches at a fast food restaurant. They were not carrying any purchase bags, nor were they dressed like store clerks. They wore the same casual style as Dr. Mooney at the Pattenden Lab. Hagen followed them into a large department store. They took the escalator down to the basement, passed through the shopping area, and entered a rear hallway marked with a sign that read, "Employees Only." A warning bell went off inside Hagen's head. He returned to a counter stacked with bed sheets, removed his coat, and stuck a pencil behind one ear. Then he waited until the clerk was busy with a customer before picking up a pile of sheets and heading back into the hallway. Three doors led to stockrooms, two to restrooms, and one was marked Danger, High Voltage. He yanked open the latter door and rushed inside. A startled security guard sitting at a desk looked up. "Hey, you're not supposed to be..." That was as far as he got before Hagen threw the sheets in his face and judo-chopped him on the side of the neck. There were two security guards behind a second door, and Hagen put them both down in less than 4 seconds. He crouched and whipped around in anticipation of another threat. 100 pairs of eyes stared at him in blank astonishment. Hagen was confronted by a room that seemed to stretch into infinity. From wall to wall it was filled with people, offices, computer and communications equipment. For a long second, he stood stunned by the vastness of it all. Then he took a step forward and grabbed a terrified secretary by the arms and lifted her out of a chair. "Leonard Hudson," he snapped. "Where can I find him?" Fear shone from her eyes like twin spotlights. She tilted her head to the right. "The office with the blue door," she stammered. "Thank you very much," he said with a broad smile. Hagen released the girl and walked swiftly through the hushed complex. His face was twisted with malevolence, as if daring anyone to stop him. No one made the slightest attempt. The growing crowd of people parted like the Red Sea as he passed down a main aisle. When he came to the blue door, Hagen stopped and turned around, surveying the Brain Trust and Communication Center of the Jersey Colony program. He had to admire Hudson. It was an imaginative cover. Excavated during the construction of the shopping center, it would have attracted little or no suspicion. The scientists, engineers, and secretaries could come and go amid the shoppers, and their cars simply melted into hundreds of others in the parking lot. The radio station was also a work of genius. Who would suspect they were transmitting and receiving messages from the moon while broadcasting top 40 records to the surrounding college community? Hagen pushed inside the door and entered what seemed to be a studio control booth. Hudson and Erickson sat with their backs to him, staring up at a large video monitor that reflected the face and shaven head of a man who stopped speaking in mid-sentence and then said, "Who is that man behind you?" Hudson made a cursory glance over his shoulder. "Hello, Ira." The voice mirrored the eyes. Hagen could almost hear the cracking of ice cubes. "I wondered when you'd show up." "Come in," said Erickson in an equally frigid tone. "You're just in time to talk to our man on the moon."